Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, day six, novena to the precious blood of Jesus. The month of July is dedicated to the precious blood. The feast of the precious blood of our Lord was instituted in 1849 by Pope Pius IX, but the devotion is as old as Christianity. The early church fathers said that the church was born from the pierced side of Christ, and that the sacraments were brought forth through his blood. Almighty Father, I place the precious blood of Jesus before my lips, before I pray, that my prayers may be purified before they ascend to your divine altar. The constant prayer of Saint Catherine of Siena, precious blood, ocean of divine mercy, flow upon us, precious blood, most pure offering, procure us every grace. Precious blood, hope and refuge of sinners, atone for us. Precious blood, delight of holy souls, draw us. Amen. And let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the voice of your blood, O Jesus, I seek you, ask you, and beg you to help me at this time of my need. O Jesus, I kneel at your bleeding feet, pleading that you will hear me. Many graces and many mercies have come from your blood. My hope lives in you until the end of my time. O Jesus, by the precious blood which you shed for our souls, by each drop that you shed for our redemption, and by the tears of our Immaculate Mother, I beseech you and earnestly ask you to listen to my prayer for those killed yesterday, July 4th, and wounded at a 4th of July shooting at a parade in Highland Park, Illinois. For those who were killed and those who were wounded and the families, we pray for healing of our country. We definitely pray for healing. Our country needs healing. We pray for Pope Francis, his monthly, for the month of July, dedication. We pray for the elderly who represent the roots and memory of a people. May their experience and wisdom help young people to look towards the future with hope and responsibility. So pray for those who are elderly. And really, to be honest, the elderly many times are prayer warriors. They pray a lot. And we need to imitate them in that, to make prayer a vital part of our day. So the Pope thought for July, he thought that we need to pray for the elderly. And we do need to, not to forget them. How many times I have seen where you have the elderly in senior citizen homes, and they're literally forgotten. The only people they see are those who are paid to work there at these places. But they need to know that they're still loved by their family members and not forgotten. So I think that's a good thing. We need to pray for the elderly as they pray for their families, and, you know, pray. We need to pray for them as well. That's a great dedication for the month of July. So, O Jesus, who during all the days of your mortal life, you consoled so many sufferers, you healed so many infirmities, you raised so often a sinking courage, have pity on my soul, who cries to you from the depths of my anguish. Heal me, my body, soul. Heal me of the stroke that I had and any cancer I might have. Heal my wife. Heal my family members. Bring my family members back to you, O Lord, strengthened in their holy Catholic faith. Those who have gone astray and become lukewarm. O Jesus, from the wounds of your heart, may a wave of your merciful blood flow and grant to me the grace that I so ardently desire. O Jesus, hasten the moment when you will change my tears to joy and my sighs to thanksgiving. Holy Mary, I ask you to join with me in seeking help. But God, our Father in heaven, may your will be done. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And we continue to pray for Christian families around the world. May they embody and experience unconditional love and advance in holiness in their daily lives. We dedicate this novena for all the bishops and priests and deacons and religious for their continued mission to reach the world for Christ, for you, O Lord. We pray for the conversion of all our political figures in government, that they will honor religious freedom and honor life. We pray for all of our first responders, police officers, EMT medics, paraprofessionals, doctors, nurses, medical professionals, to defend life. We pray for our military, those who are deployed around the world, for the poor souls of purgatory, for the end of abortion and Planned Parenthood. Again, I pray for my wife. I dedicate this novena for my wife and family members and anybody out there who's, we also pray for Doc of Tennessee, who fell and hurt his back. We dedicate all these prayers for this novena. For all this coming year's RCIA candidates and catechumens preparing for the next Easter Vigil, for America to turn from the paganism and hedonism, evil that has been heading towards. We pray for children runaways to return safely home. Jesus crucified, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, hear us. Jesus, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Blood of Christ, only begotten Son of the Eternal Father, save us, blood of Christ, incarnate Word of God. Save us, blood of Christ, of the New and Eternal Testament. Save us, blood of Christ, falling upon the earth in the agony. Save us, blood of Christ, shed profusely in the scourging. Save us, blood of Christ, flowing forth in the crowning with thorns. Save us, blood of Christ, poured out on the cross. Save us, blood of Christ, price of our salvation. Save us, blood of Christ, without which there is no forgiveness. Save us, blood of Christ, Eucharistic drink and refreshment of souls. Save us, blood of Christ, stream of mercy. Save us, blood of Christ, victor over demons. Save us, blood of Christ, courage of martyrs. Save us, blood of Christ, strength of confessors. Save us, blood of Christ, bringing forth virgins. Save us, blood of Christ, help of those in peril. Save us, blood of Christ, relief of the burdened. Save us, blood of Christ, solace in sorrow. Save us, blood of Christ, hope of the penitent. Save us, blood of Christ, consolation of the dying, save us, blood of Christ, peace and tenderness of hearts. Save us, blood of Christ, pledge of eternal life. Save us, blood of Christ, freeing souls from purgatory. Save us, blood of Christ, most worthy of all glory and honor. Save us, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Spare us, O Lord, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lord, you have redeemed us, O Lord, in your blood, and made us, for our God, a kingdom. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you have appointed your only begotten Son, the Redeemer of the world, and willed to be appeased by his blood. Grant, we beg of you, that we may worthily adore this price of our salvation, and through its power be safeguarded from the evils of the present life, so that we may rejoice in its fruits forever in heaven. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Strapped each wrist. With the hellish looks that a strong-armed soldier, whip clenched in his fist. Laced with chips of bone, they beat him hard from his shoulders to his feet. And it sliced right through his olive skin, just like razors through a sheet. Countless times the blood splattered as each inhuman lash was given. Several times his knees his flesh just hung like ribbon. Then surprisingly, he turned his head. Though the words he used were few, the soldier's face turned pale when he said, "This blood is for you." Uncaringly, they tossed a garment across his weakened form, and his blood pressure fell deathly low. Crowd began to swarm. They forced him to carry his cross uphill, as his face they punched and smacked, while the splinters from the crisscross beam dug deep into his back. Through lack of sleep and dehydration, his tongue began to swell, and weakened by his loss of blood, this prophet teacher fell. And when he did, some blood splattered on a man named Simon's shoe. And as he bent to wipe it off, the prophet looked and said, "Simon, this blood is for you." Bursting arteries and veins. And as they dropped the cross in the hole they dug, his body convulsed with pain. Through an agony and torment that never a soul shall find, he tilts his face towards heaven with full control of his mind. With more love than any human heard before that time forsake, he made a statement that
makes the strongest skeptic wince. He cried, Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as he gave his life for those lost in sin, he was saying, this blood is for you.
And this blood can save the soul, heal the sick, mend the heart. This blood can give you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you.
If you're lost and alone and your mind is confused,
this blood is for you.
If you feel like you have been hurt and abused,
this blood is for you.
The atoning, cleansing blood.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
Would you be wise? Then listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And remember this as you go forward, out of Paul's words in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These inerrant words from Scripture are meant for all of us. But right now, please pray for all of our religious, pray for all of our bishops and priests again, and deacons, all those, that they do the right thing, standing up for the rights of Catholics around the world. It has been proposed, instead of being, you know, what's been going through on throughout the world, how the church is being attacked all over the world. And so Cardinal Burke said this: we as Catholics have not properly combated the culture because we have not been taught our Catholic faith, especially in the depth needed to address these grave evils of our time. It is being addressed, but it needs much more radical attention. What has also contributed greatly to the situation is an exaltation of the virtue of tolerance, which is falsely seen as the virtue which governs all other virtues. In other words, we should tolerate other people in their immoral actions, their sin, to the extent that we seem also to accept the moral wrong. Tolerance is a virtue, but it is certainly not the principal virtue. The principal virtue is charity. Charity means speaking the truth. I have encountered it not speaking the truth many times myself as a priest and bishop. It is something we simply need to address. There is far too much silence. People do not want to talk about it because the topic is not politically correct. But we cannot be silent any longer. And so before the Eucharistic miracle that I'm getting ready to share, having said all of the above, and this is again Cardinal Burke, I want to finish with a quote by St. Thomas Aquinas that I hope, when I die, will apply to my life. While he is talking about the sacrament of the Eucharist, is how I feel about the teachings of the Catholic Church. I love and founded by the Lord Jesus, whom I love. If in this world there be any knowledge of this sacrament stronger than that of faith, I wish now to use it in affirming that I firmly believe and know as certain that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, Son of God and Son of the Virgin Mary, is in this sacrament, body, blood, soul, divinity. I receive you, the price of my redemption, for whose love I have watched, studied, and labored. You have I preached, you have I taught. Never have I said anything against you. If anything was not well said, that is to be attributed to my ignorance. Neither do I wish to be obstinate in my opinions. But if I have written anything erroneous concerning the sacrament or other matters, I submit all to the judgment and correction of the Holy Roman Church, in whose obedience I now pass from this life as St. Thomas Aquinas. And the most precious blood of Jesus, Wittgarten, Germany, in 1055 A.D. This Eucharistic miracle literally is taken from the foot of the cross. St. Matthew, the evangelist, in describing the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, says, "The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening. And they said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. St. Longinus was the Roman soldier who pierced the side of the crucified Savior with a spear. He was the chief of the soldiers who were present at the crucifixion of the Lord on Golgotha. St. Longinus previously having been wounded in a past battle. He was blind in one eye. He was healed when he pierced the side of Jesus with his spear, and some of the blood and water from Jesus fell into his eyes. Upon his healing, St. Longinus gives his profession of faith. Truly, this was the Son of God. Recognizing the power of the blood of Christ, gathered a portion of blood-soaked earth at the foot of the cross. Having come to believe in the Savior, St. Longinus received baptism from the apostles and decided to leave military service. St. Longinus secretly left Judea to preach about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in his native land, Cappadocia, and two of his comrades followed him. He had always maintained a relic of the blood of Christ taken from the foot of the cross. St. Longinus had carried the relic of the most precious blood of Christ to Mantua, but in the process of time was placed in a safe place and forgotten. Accordingly, it is reported that St. Andrew, the disciple of Jesus and brother of St. Peter, appeared in the dreams of two different seekers of the relic. As a result, the location of the Holy Blood in both the 9th and the 11th centuries were located. Few relics have been more precious in the Christian imagination than the blood of Christ. A small elite group of religious sites in Western Europe claims possession of the relic, including the city of Mantova, a direct 2-hour train ride from Milan. The blood of Mantova, contained in a set of sacred vessels, rests in the crypt of the Basilica da Saint Andrea. The present-day veneration of the relic includes an annual Good Friday procession through the city streets. The earliest source for the blood of Mantova appears in the annals of for the year 804, which states that Pope Leo III went to Mantova at the request of Charlemagne to verify rumors of the newly discovered relic. In 924, due to the Hungarian invasion of Italy, the relic was hidden and subsequently lost until it was rediscovered again in 1048. The relic of the Most Precious Blood arrived even in Wittingen, Germany, according to an ancient document, in the year 1055. Emperor Henry III of the Franks was given part of the precious relic. Henry subsequently left the Most Precious Blood as an inheritance to Count Badovino of Flanders, who in turn gave the sacred relic to his daughter Judith. When Goufola IV of Bavaria sought Judith as his spouse, she gave him the precious relic, which he himself later gave to the Benedictines at Wittenherdingen, Germany, directed at that time by Abbot Willichon. The solemn ceremony took place March 4, 1094. For this reason, the Benedictine Abbey received numerous indulgences from various popes, such that this church became a religious center of extraordinary importance. Later, the precious blood was divided into several portions and given to various rulers of the era, and most famous of whom was Charlemagne, and to different popes. The basilica in Mantova, which houses the relic in a crypt below the central nave, is dedicated to St. Andrew. The church built over a former Franciscan foundation in order to accommodate the growing pilgrim crowds was founded in 1462, just 1 year after the head of St. Andrew was given to Pope Pius II by the Byzantine despot Thomas Pelagius. The apostolic relic has been enshrined in one of the four central pillars of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Soon after the 11th century rediscovery of the Holy Blood, Pope Leo IX, 1053, and Emperor Henry III, 1055, came to Mantova to adore the relic, which was subsequently divided into three parts. One portion remained in Mantova, while the Pope and the Emperor took their shares, respectively, to Rome and Germany. The Emperor's portion was eventually given to the Wittingen Abbey, which still acknowledges the Italian province of its sacred relic. To this day, the Holy Blood of Wittingen is solemnly carried in a grand procession on the Friday after Ascension Day, locally known as Blutfasting. This year's celebration known as the Ride or Procession of the Blood will take place in Wittingen, Germany. Some 3,000 horses ridden by representatives of the individual parishes and by the clergy of the individual churches participated. 30,000 pilgrims are expected to participate in this year's event, which will take place on May 18th, which this already took place, since we're now in July. Now, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially, according to each one's works, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed from the futile conduct handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a spotless, unblemished lamb. Like St. Longinus so long ago, we too stand at the foot of the cross healed by the blood of the Lamb. Remember that each and every Eucharist, the cup of blessing that we bless, is a participation in the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16. And this is also now the miracle of the blood, Canossio, Italy, 1630. St. Ignatius of Antioch, in his epistle to the Smyrnians, said they abstained from the Eucharist and from prayer because they confessed not the Eucharist to be the flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which suffered for our sins, and which the Father, of his goodness, raised up again. And then St. Justin the Martyr said, for not as common bread and common drink do we receive these, but in like manner as Jesus Christ, our Savior, having been made flesh and blood for our salvation, so likewise we have been taught that the food which is blessed by the prayer of his word, and from which our blood and flesh are transmuted, are nourished in the flesh and blood of that Jesus who was made flesh. The bread over which thanks have been given is the body of their Lord and the cup of his blood. St. Irenaeus of Lyons, in his writing Against Heresies in 186 AD, he acknowledged the cup, which is part of the creation, as his own blood, from which he bestows our blood, and the bread also a part of creation. He affirmed to be his own body, from which he gives increase to our bodies. Again, at St. Irenaeus. This particular Eucharistic miracle features a pastor, Father Renardi, whose deep faith in the Eucharist was responsible for the saving of the village of Canossio from the torrential floods of the Maria River with a blessing of the Blessed Sacrament. There were many conversions among those who witnessed the miracle, and to this day, the townspeople of Canossio celebrate a feast during the octave of Corpus Christi to commemorate the miracle. Canossio is a small village in the region of Valmaria in the Diocese of Saluzza. In 1630, its town people had grown cold in their religious observance due to the spread of the Calvinistic heresy, which that was founded by John Ranmer, a heresy in 1565, John Calvin. A day after the Feast of Corpus Christi, the river at Maria flooded, began of a torrential rainfall. The flood waters were so violent and powerful that some massive stones were dislodged from the mountain and threatened to destroy the village, the valley and the village itself. And Father Renardi, the pastor of the town, assembled the townspeople with the ringing of the church bells and exhorted them to pray that the Lord would stop the flood. He vowed that if the village of Canossio were spared from the flood's destruction, the townspeople would celebrate in perpetual an annual feast of Corpus Christi. And Father Renardi then placed the sacrament in the monstrance. He processed towards the raging river, the flood, with some of the faithful as they all recited the Miserere, Psalms 51. After he blessed the raging waters, the rain stopped at once and the floodwaters peaked and returned to their normal level. This incident revived the faith of the townspeople of Canossio, and to this day they observe the vow that was made. Wow. In Psalms 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before you, before me. Against you only have I sinned, and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you art justified in your sentence, and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward thing, being. Therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, the confessional. When you go to confession, you receive a judgment of mercy. You receive a judgment of mercy. So go to confession often and cleanse yourself. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. And make the Mass the center of your life and receive the Eucharistic celebration, Jesus' actual body, blood, soul, divinity at every Mass. And in the Eucharist, you receive his actual body and blood, soul and divinity, which is capable of saving us through his Holy Catholic Church and his glorious sacrament. Enrich yourself in his grace. God bless you all. The novena to the precious blood of Jesus. This is what he wants us. He wants to be an intimate part of our life. He wants to be so intimate in our life that we make him in the beginning to the end. That's what he wants. So he wants us to become a disciple.